we have now. Only retreat or surrender or death.
Well, that's an easy choice for us, Arcadian. Spartans never retreat. Spartans never surrender.
Go, spread the word. Let every Greek assembled know the truth of this.
Let each among them search his own soul.
While you're at it, search your own.
This is the Warrior Mind Podcast, and I'm your host, Greg Swanson. Podcasting from beautiful Bend, Oregon, the Warrior Mind Podcast is a personal empowerment series that gives you the information required to develop a mindset of a warrior, maximize your human potential, and achieve peak performance.
Over 4 years and going strong, with over 300,000 downloads from over 9 countries and 5 continents, I'm Greg Swanson, and this is the Warrior Mind Podcast. To find out more about Warrior Mind Coaching and Training, please visit us at www.warriormindcoach.com. Greetings, everyone. Hope you're doing well. Here we are about halfway through July. How are you progressing on your goals? How are you? Are you taking these fun field work assignments at the end of each podcast? Are you applying them, or are you just listening to them? Are you going after what you want? Are you living on purpose? These are all things that the podcast is supposed to get, is intended for you to start to think about. And to help you with that, I have a special interview today with Nii Sobo, who is used to be a running back for the New Orleans Saints and had his career cut short due to an injury. But he's a wonderful, wonderful young gentleman out here in Portland, Oregon. Just had a great time discussing, you know, goal setting, mental rehearsal, and all sorts of aspects of developing that mental strength and the mental toughness. So I'm going to sit back and relax, enjoy that interview. Just a reminder that I have converted my book, Develop the Mental Strength of a Warrior, to an online training program. And you can find more out about that by going to warriormindtraining.com. And with that, let me turn it over to the interview and enjoy. Nii, thank you so much for joining me today on the Warrior Mind Podcast. This is awesome. I am truly, truly excited to have you here. One, you're a neighbor. You live in Portland, right down the street from us. We kind of like hang out if we could. And two, just the level of athleticism that you have experienced in your career is amazing. And this is just going to help out with mental strength. So again, thank you so much for joining me.
Thanks for having me, man. I appreciate it.
So for those, the audience that we have here is domestic and international. So just to clarify some terms, when I say football, I mean American football. So, right? Because we just want to make sure that, you know, that when we talk about fullbacks and running backs in football, that we just set the stage for all the audience to understand that. But tell the audience a little bit about, I mean, what I'm just so fascinated is the fact that you went from college to pro, that was the Saints, through free agency. Now, for those that are listening, when there's a draft coming up, players are put themselves into the draft and pro teams can come and pick them. And if you don't get picked, you then go through, and I'll let Nii correct me as I go along, you become a free agent. But mentally, the draft is so tiring, I would think, Nii. And then when you have to go to the free agent market, and then he worked out and joined on with the New Orleans Saints. But tell me a little bit from the mental perspective, how was that through the draft and the free agency?
Man, everything that you described there is pretty accurate, man. It's definitely a mental and emotional roller coaster, if you will. But leading up to that, I guess you can say I was somewhat prepared for it. It's one of those things where I feel like the way my career and even my life sort of turned out leading up to being in the NFL prepared me perfectly. So I started playing football in seventh grade, and I was the third out of 4 boys, and we came from a soccer family. My dad was from Nigeria. He came here when he was 18, and we all played soccer, but I was the only one of my brothers that decided to play football. And I ended up walking on to Oregon State. And so being a walk-on is similar to being a rookie free agent in that you're almost like an unpaid intern, you know, as a walk-on. And right. So you're kind of like pretty low on the totem pole, and you have to really earn your medal and just sort of like just work your way up just to even get a little bit of scraps. And so I did pretty well while I was at Oregon State, and I ended up getting some playing time, but I didn't earn a scholarship. And so I ended up reaching out to some coaches at Portland State and decided I won a scholarship. And a lot of people didn't agree with that move. They thought I wasn't going to be able to get a scholarship and thought I would be better off playing in the Pac-12 over with Oregon State. But I knew what I wanted. And so I got a scholarship to Portland State. And even there, when I was there, my first year at Portland State, I didn't get the playing time that I ultimately had wanted, and things weren't working out how I planned it. But my last year at Portland State, I got my big break. And I ended up becoming an All-American there. But the funny thing about it was, 2 games before the season ended, I busted my wrist. And so here the draft is coming up, and I have a busted wrist, and I can't bench press, which is a big test that you have to do in order to qualify for the draft and things like that. It's one of the measuring sticks they use. And so I had another choice. Should I continue and try to be in the NFL, or should I just chalk it up and like most of my friends did and not try to waste my time or money getting trainers and things like that. But I decided that I was going to do it. And that's where the mentality comes in, because I'm not you, which is my brand. I'm not you means that when most people give up, I keep going. So there's the 98% who quit, who give up, who complain, who accept their circumstances the way they are and don't do anything about them. And then there's the 2% who go out and get it, who go out and take action and sort of claim what's already theirs. Like, I never entertained that like what I, you know, you have doubts. I had doubts and things like that, but it's almost as if I assumed that I was going to be able to make it. You assume it. And that's what the I'm not you mentality is. And so, needless to say, when I made it on the New Orleans Saints, the pressure and all of those things weren't new to me. Now, that's not to say it was easy to deal with. It never is. But anyone with the warrior mind understands that when you go through really tough challenges, you understand that it's making you stronger. So the idea is never that things are going to be easy for you, but it definitely was tough going through that. But I had a great time. I learned a lot while I was there. I ended up starting for the New Orleans Saints my rookie season. I was one of only 2 out of the 20 rookie free agents who made the roster. And ultimately, my career got cut short due to injury, but I'm here now and I'm working with athletes, showing them the mindset and the strategies that they need to dominate their sport. So that's where I am now.
Fantastic. And if I remember correctly, wasn't your first play a reception? You completed a reception, and then your second play was almost a touchdown with the Saints?
Absolutely, yeah. So I still remember that first catch that I made. And it was actually pretty close to we were like in the within striking range. And I remember I caught the ball and I heard like the fans were just going crazy. And it was almost weird, because I was looking around. I was like, oh, wow, they're screaming for me. Like, I had never heard like that big of a roar before. You know what I mean? So it was pretty cool. And then, that was a lot of fun against the Niners there.
So what I understood, what I heard in your story is that what kept you going is you said you knew what you want. You had a goal. Mm-hmm. And so how important are goals? Because I talk about goals a lot, and sometimes I get a sense that people hear goal setting way too much and they roll their eyes and all this kind of stuff. But I am such a big believer in goals. You know, goals inspire us to take action. And what I heard in your story was that you had goals, you knew what you wanted, and it was those goals that kept you going. So talk a little bit how important goals were to you and still are to you.
Man, absolutely. And it's funny you said that, because I know that feeling of, you know, the rolling your eyes, and yeah, I've heard that before. But at the end of the day, you can use whatever language you want, but all a goal is something that you want that you don't have yet. And we all have those. So at any given moment, you have things that you want and you have things that you don't want. And every thought that you put out there, you're going to, it's like every seed that a farmer puts in the ground is going to bear fruit, bad or good. And so you might as well decide and be decisive about whatever goals it is that you want. And again, it's all semantics. You hear people say they don't like to use the word goal, whatever, result, outcome, it doesn't matter. But we have, it's funny, I have this book, Psycho-Cybernetics, here on my desk.
Oh, great book. Yeah, Maxwell.
Yep, exactly. And he talks about like every human has this goal striving mechanism built inside of us. So an animal, their instincts are to survive, to eat, to procreate, et cetera. We have all of those instincts as well, but we have spiritual needs. We have needs of like the human spirit that we are put on this earth to accomplish. Desire is good. Like the, the wanting something, having the desire to go get something, that's what we were put on this earth to do, is go out and accomplish and succeed and be successful. So I feel like it's you're always accomplishing your goals, whether or not you know it or not. You might as well be deliberate about which goals you set. And especially for athletes, you have to stand, you have to have at least enough courage to speak out loud what it is that you want. And you don't have to announce it to the world, but you got to be able to decide and be able to be comfortable understanding that these are the goals that you want. And I find a lot of athletes aren't.
Right. And let me ask you, I think, you know, you're absolutely correct. We all have goals, whether we unconsciously or consciously go through them. Sometimes the goal may be as little as just survive the day, which is a sad state of affairs, right? But there's something different when you have a goal and you face an obstacle, right? And that obstacle in getting that goal can either hold people back, can really turn them away, or it can inspire them. And what I've heard in your story is those goals kept you inspired to go through that pain, to go through those obstacles. And so how do you do that? I mean, that's one of the biggest questions I get as a coach and interviewer. They go, well, how do you do that? And so I'd like to hear your perspective, because you have this goal, right? And it's a dream. Mm-hmm. It's a vision. It's compelling. And then you break your wrist.
Right.
Then
right.
how do you keep going?
Right. That's a great question, man. I think the first thing that comes to mind is, first, you have to have a strong desire for it. So that's what's almost like a prerequisite to anything else. If you don't want the goal badly enough, then you shouldn't even go after it. And I find that happen with a lot of people. So before you get anything into anything, decide that it's something that you actually really want. And then from there, you just have to cultivate it all comes back to belief. Right. And so mm-hmm. I have this matrix, if you will, that helps me out a lot. There's a great book called What to Say When You Talk to Yourself by Shad mm-hmm. Helmstetter that also talks a lot about this. But what you believe leads to what you feel, and what you feel leads to what you do. What you do ultimately determines what you get. So if you want to develop more belief, you have to decide that.
Right. And so what you described is a model that I use, the TFAR model, right? Thoughts lead to feeling, leads to actions, lead to results, but it's our beliefs that create these thoughts. But then the thought says, and you said something really important, that you have to have this burning desire for the goal. Now, Seth Godin in his book Dip talks about that. He goes, really, because we're all going to hit dips in our life. We're all going to hit these roadblocks. And you have to decide, at what point are you going to turn around and not go after that goal? And if you do decide it, then don't go after it, because you're going to hit that dip.
Right.
So How do you go about creating that burning desire? What is it, you know? And you talked about some really great things here, self-talk. And I wanted to go over, you know, the four big keys that I use is goal setting, mental rehearsal, self-talk, energy management. But how did you create this burning desire for these goals that kept you going with a broken wrist and going through free agency?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question, man. I think obviously it's going to start with just having an interest in what you're doing, right? That's a prerequisite. You got to love the sport. So I loved football. I loved the sport. And I really valued growth, right? And so that's one thing that I valued a lot, that I got from my dad a lot. And at the end of the day, you know, when you talk about teaching this to other people, so I can talk about my story and how I developed this belief. But at the end of the day, for whoever's listening, it's something that you can consciously decide to do. And I was talking earlier about belief. You got to decide what things mean. So, for example, when I was in the league, or when I was at Portland State and my wrist busted up, I had a choice as to what that was going to mean. Like, does that mean that my career is over? Does that mean that I shouldn't keep going? And being able to consciously decide what things mean is something that can help anyone out as you're going towards a goal. And you have this desire, but then an inevitable obstacle comes up and it's like, okay, what do I do now? Do I keep going or do I stop? And ask yourself, what can this mean? Like, what else could this mean? And by getting that, like, you can start to decide what things mean for you and create meanings that actually move you to action as opposed to hold you back. So I didn't believe that my wrist was busted up was the end of my career. I believe that, you know, I still could keep going. There was still a team that can see value in me, that it didn't matter that I wasn't going to be able to do the 225 bench press, that they were going to be able to see other attributes in me that was enough to get me. And it sounds very simple, but it is that simple. That doesn't mean it's always easy, though. And so one of the things I do with athletes that I teach them how to do, and this is one thing that you can do to create a burning desire, is revisit and reassociate to your goals on a daily basis. Mm-hmm. It's not something that you don't set a goal and then come back to it every week or every month. Some people don't even visit them at all. And the thing is that you have to realize is that, and athletes listening, if you want results that most people don't have, don't look to those people to show you what to do to get those results. There's a reason why they don't have them. Just look at the people who have succeeded. And those people constantly are, they're obsessed with their goals. They think about them. They dream about them. They talk about them. They read about them. They learn about them. They get mentors to help them reach them. So these are, you have to reassociate to your goals daily. And that's as simple as something as simple as writing down your goals morning and night. Very, very simple, very practical. It's success 101. What it does is it's burning that into your subconscious mind. And now your subconscious mind is going to help you out as it goes, as you go on about your day, is going to draw you more towards your goal as you continue to take action.
Absolutely. Wow. That's very well said. Perfect. Perfect. And what I heard in there also is as you review the goals, let me ask you again, because the top big four mental strength tools that I call, or maybe mental toughness, depending on what you want to say, is one is goal setting. You've just done a great job on defining that. But then there's that mental rehearsal, right, of seeing yourself in that goal and executing that goal and being part of it. How often do you mentally rehearse your future?
Man, that's a great question. And so this is one thing that I felt like as I started to learn more about this, I actually started to complicate it. And now I'm back to the place again. It's like, as you start to learn, you're like, you can simplify it a little more. But what I realized is before I even learned any visualization techniques or any fancy things, I was already doing it about before you go to sleep. So me, I used to always think about my goals. I used to always imagine running out the tunnel. I used to always imagine how I was going to play the next day. And I also know what I felt like as I was visualizing things going wrong. And I knew that always led to anxiety, that always led to worry. So remember, you're always setting goals. You're always planting seeds. So when you're thinking those negative thoughts, when you're imagining things going wrong, that's usually what tends to happen. And that's how powerful the visualization is. So now in my routine, I visualize every morning. I have several different methods that I use. I don't like to just stick to one, but I tend to switch it up. But I have several different visualization techniques that I use, and I actually have one for your audience that I'll tell you about later that you can use as well. But awesome. I really focus on creating the emotion. So that's one thing that a lot of people get wrong when they're visualizing. They go through these drills. You might read it in a book or do it. But what you have to do is focus on the emotion that you're going to feel as you're playing the game. So that's what's most important. When I was playing at Portland State, I remember the day after every game, I would go in the swimming pool at Portland State, and no one else did this. It was just me. It was my ritual. And I would swim a few laps just to get the lactic acid out and just get my body feeling better. And in the shallow end of the pool, I would just sort of mock, you know, running the ball in the pool. And I would just imagine what I was going to be doing in the game coming up. And I would feel awesome while I was doing it. I would really, and I imagine I looked pretty weird as I was doing it, but I didn't care. But this is just an example of some of the things that you can do. There's no right or wrong way. I remember when before practice, me and one of my friends, when I was at Portland State, we would act like we just scored a touchdown and act like we were, you know, signaling the crowd to stand up and all that stuff, just kind of acting funny. But I realized like all these things that we did, we were visualizing, we were rehearsing, we were practicing, because your subconscious mind can't tell the difference between what's real or fake. Like, and if you don't believe me, like, just how do you feel when you watch a scary movie? You know, it's
right,
not real.
Right,
we know
right.
It's not real, but your subconscious mind can't tell the difference and you feel those feelings. So anything that you can do to generate the feelings of the success that you're going after is so critical. You don't have to wait in order to feel the success. You can feel it right now. And so just start with just closing your eyes and just imagining things going well. Just imagine yourself going and use all your five senses. What are you smelling? What are you hearing? What are you tasting? What are you feeling? All of these things, and just get involved. And the more you do it, the more you get better at it.
Yeah. And that's a great point, because there's many, many, many. And this is why I kind of stay away from the word visualization, because that involves just one sense, right? Your eyes. But you really explained that great as to include all of your senses and, mm-hmm. and your mental rehearsal and continue to do it. And, you know, what I talk about is worrying is you're mentally rehearsing something you don't want to have happen. And so you did a great job on talking about mentally rehearsing what you do want to have happen. Now, let me ask you, we dabbled in a little bit in the beginning of the talk here, but self-talk, you know, is so, so important. We are always talking to ourselves. How do you monitor your self-talk? Because we've brought up in a society that may not be as encouraging as we would like to. And, you know, if you have a family environment, which it sounds like yours was very supportive and taught you proper self-talk techniques, but how do you monitor? What are some of the techniques that you use? And then how do you get yourself back on track?
Absolutely. So I go back to what I was talking about earlier, and I think you called it TFAR. I call it BEAR, B-E-A-R, but beliefs lead to emotions, right? And so the way that I can monitor really easily, especially in the beginning, I've gotten better now at keeping a close eye on how I talk to myself. And it just starts with that awareness. But the thing that you can do, especially as you're just beginning, is pay attention to how you feel. All right. So emotions tell everything. So your emotions is like a thermostat. And you talked about that in psycho-cybernetics. It's if the positive emotions tell you that you're leaning towards success, negative ones that you're leaning towards failure. So I listen to my emotions. And then you say, like, let's say you're feeling frustrated or worried, right? Let's take an athlete who, let's say he got hurt, right? The athlete got hurt, and now all of a sudden he's feeling very anxious and worried. And so ask yourself, what would you have to believe in order to feel frustrated or anxious or worried? And then just say what comes to your mind. So I would have to believe that, you know, I'm going to get my spot taken. There's no way that I'm going to be able to, you know, get back from this. Am I going to, you know, all these negative questions that you ask. And then you, whatever you write down, that's what your self-talk is. And people don't understand. So, like, you're always going to be bombarded with different thoughts, right? Like, thoughts are going to stream into your mind. But the ones that you choose, that you really associate with, those are going to manifest in the form of feelings. And those are the ones you got to be really careful of. You don't want to beat yourself up because you have a negative thought here and there. Every person that's alive has negative thoughts every day. The question is, how much do you associate with them, and how often do you choose them? So for me, I'm constantly monitoring my emotions. It's something that I track at the end of each day. I just quickly jot down. I have a Google survey that's on the front page of my phone that I just input the emotions that I feel on a daily basis. And that tells me if I have a lot of negative emotions and very few positive ones, then obviously I got to start monitoring my self-talk and start aggressively inserting new self-talk. And that's another very important habit. You got to be deliberate about what thoughts you're going to think. So, I mean, that to me is the, at the core essence of what it means to be mentally tough. You deciding what you're going to think about a situation, because you understand that what you think about a situation is going to lead to what you do.
Awesome. And the key word that is choose, right? You're choosing after being aware. Now you have choice. And once you have choice, it's up to you. But I'm interested. Could you talk just a little bit about, you said you have a survey on your phone that you take an inventory. Is this something that you created?
Absolutely. Yeah, it's very simple. Well, I just created it on my phone. I usually write it down, but it got to the point where I was like, okay, this part, I'm pretty old school. And some of my clients joke with me about it. How, you know, I like to write, you know, I still write in my journal, but this particular thing, I just created a Google survey and just asked myself, like, the date, obviously. And then what, on a scale of 1 to 10, you know, on an emotional scale, you know, how balanced was I, right? On a scale of 1 to 10. And then, what negative emotions did I feel today and what positive emotions did I feel today? And I click, enter. And so I can go back and look back and see the trends, right? So if I notice that certain negative emotions keep coming up, I have another exercise that I do to dig down even deeper into that emotion and sort of break those circuits, if you will. But it starts with just tracking it and being aware.
Wow, fantastic. Which brings me to the next subject, is this energy management. And sometimes it's called arousal, sometimes it's called energy management. But, you know, I'm sure you've had days when you were either with the Saints or even just now where you wake up and go, man, I just don't feel like doing whatever it is you're doing, and you may do mental rehearsal. It just doesn't work. How do you manage your energy so that you allow yourself to have those days, or do you ever allow yourself to have those days or those minutes? But then how do you get yourself up so that you can maintain the goals, maintain your mental rehearsal, maintain your self-talk, maintain moving ahead?
Absolutely, man. I think, first of all, man, I think it's really important. This is something I learned along the way, is to understand that you can't influence yourself or anyone else for that matter. You can't get yourself to do anything when you're judging yourself. All right. So, and that goes back to the self-talk, a lot of guilt and shame involved. I don't really, those are emotions that I stay away from in terms of the guilt and shame. Guilt is usually a sign I need to quickly forgive myself and identify what I need to do differently. So I think it's just important that with the energy management, like, I honestly, and this is just, I don't believe in been having bad days. Like, that's not something that is going to happen to me. Now, I've done a lot to develop that. And what you can do is first take responsibility for how you feel. That's number one. So if you're having a bad day, that means you decided to have a bad day because you believe that circumstances or other people are in control of that. So you got to take control of your own life and how you feel. Knowing that, it doesn't mean you're not going to feel bad or you're not going to feel low energy and all those things. I feel those things. However, understanding the three elements that contribute to emotion is critical. And Tony Robbins talks about this a bunch. There's a book called Awaken the Giant Within that's powerful that I suggest every athlete should read. But he talks about the power of body, focus, and language. So at any given moment, those three things are affecting how you feel. So how do you use your body? So knowing that you can shift your body at any moment and create energy, right? Like I can go in the gym and I can start jump roping. That's instantly going to start to create energy and have me breathing different. I can smile. I can hug my wife. All of these things are going to affect how I feel. And then your focus, what things are you thinking about, right? Like where is your focus at? So usually when I'm tired in the morning, I'm focusing on how much sleep I didn't get. I'm focusing on, you know, how tired I am. I'm just simply focused on my feeling. If I start focusing on something I'm excited about for the day or something that I'm excited about getting done, you'll notice that the emotion starts to change. And then last is the language, the self-talk. And we've already talked about this. So if you can get good at shifting those at any moment, and that comes with practice, right? And I have a ritual that I call prime time. And that's the visualization track that I'm going to share with your audience. But it's called prime time. It's where it's a ritual that I use every morning. I turn on music and I get myself to feel the way that I want to feel. And I do that by using my body a certain way, shifting my focus a certain way, and using certain language. And I do that out loud. Like when I jump rope, jump roping is one of my main sources of cardio exercise. And I love jump roping because I'll jump rope for like 30 minutes straight and I'll just talk to myself the whole time. And the way that I feel after I'm done, it's magnetic. You know what I mean? It's powerful.
Yeah. Yeah. Now I'm sure those are all double unders, right? That you're doing for 30 minutes.
I wish.
and that's at 4 o'clock in the morning, right? When you're playing all that great music and jumping and the family's like, really exactly. Right now at 4 o'clock.
That's hilarious. No, sometimes so, a little earlier than my kids like.
So what's a typical day in your life look like? You talked about some, you know, routines that you do in the morning. What, you know, because again, you're working with athletes, you're working with people all day long. You have a family, you have your own self. What does your typical day look like?
So I get up at 5 a.m. and after that, I take a shower. I take a shower, a warm shower in the beginning. I take a cold shower. And the purpose of that is really jolting me into a ready state, if you will. And also just proving to my, it's kind of like burning out or flushing out some of that weakness. I think we all start to get soft a little bit. And I think we need to prove to ourselves every once in a while. For me, it's daily that like I tell myself what to do and I do it. You know what I mean? And so that's a really powerful exercise that I do. And then after that, I meditate. And so meditation is critical. That's when I do either my meditation or visualization. I have several different methods that I use. Headspace is my go-to. It's a great app on the iPhone that you should get for meditating. And then I blueprint. For blueprinting for me is my daily mental conditioning, as well as setting up my day and identifying, you know, my top results and actions for the day. I think it's really important to distinguish those two, the results from actions. A lot of us wake up, we have to-do lists, but very rarely do we ask, what are the results that I'm trying to accomplish today? And so that's critical. And then after that, I get into, like, I spend the first hour after my morning mastery, or what I like to call it. That's when I spend time focused on me. So that's when I revise my vision. I have a system for how to manage my life. I review the categories of my life, review my purpose, et cetera. And then that's when I usually read and just sort of stay low key in the morning. And then I work out. And then after I work out, I eat, hang out with my family. And it's the summertime, so my kids are sleeping in a little bit, play with my kids, et cetera, meet with my wife. And then I get my day started, my work day started around 11 o'clock. That's when I'll either record my podcast, meeting with clients, creating products, creating content with my team, et cetera. Usually try to wrap up around 5 to 6, hang out with my family. And then I also, at night, I'm blueprinting again, which is extracting any key wins from the day, anything that I learned, and then setting up my day for the next day and then do it all over again.
Sounds like fun to me.
Yeah.
Awesome. That is fantastic. So tell me and the listeners a little bit, when you said you work with clients, you work with athletes, what's your business? What do you do? How do you work with them?
So basically, man, I show athletes and top performers the mindset and the systems that they need to dominate in any environment. So when you talk about an athlete, start with an athlete. there are certain ways that you have got to think if you're going to succeed and take it to the next level. And when I first started out doing this, man, I was doing personal training and coaching and things like that. And I realized that my reach was so limited. It's like these athletes don't need, you know, training techniques. You know, those are very helpful and necessary, right? But what they need is a way to think, and they need systems to set up their life in such a way so that they can consistently reach their goals. So a lot of them don't even have goals. They're on the gym all day, but they don't have any system for how to keep track of their progress, what to do when things go bad, what to do when they have a coach that they don't like, what do they do when they have injuries, how to set up their week, how to plan their days, how to dominate their time, how to do these things like visualizing and, you know, becoming mentally tough. And so I created systems around all these things to help athletes accomplish that. And what happened was I attract a lot of entrepreneurs and other top performers as well, because they understand the value of thinking in a certain way. They understand that you have to have that mental edge if you want to succeed and take your results to the next level. And so I have a coaching program where I work with these athletes and entrepreneurs. I sell digital products. I just recently created a course called Ultimate Self-Confidence. It was basically a step-by-step system for developing that dominant mindset and creating that confidence, as well as I have a podcast as well called the Sports Motivation Podcast, where I talk a lot of the things, similar things to what you talk about as well, just showing athletes how to set up that mindset so that they can succeed.
Oh, fantastic. So I tell you what, we probably could talk for hours and hours and hours about this. And I appreciate your time tonight. And it's getting close to that time where you want to spend time with family. What's the best way that people can get in touch with you through your website, through your podcast? How can people get in touch with you?
So if you go to imnotyou.com, and you go to /SRC. That's where you can go if you're interested in my coaching program. I also created a gift for your audience.
If
you go
to
imnotyou.com/warrior mind, and you can go there and you can get some pretty powerful gifts. I'll let you go ahead and find out what those are, but I think you're going to really like them, and they're going to help you start to create that mindset that you need to succeed. And also, you can catch me on Twitter at NIYISOBO, Niyi Shobo. Same thing on Instagram, same thing on Facebook as well.
Fantastic. Thank you. Well, I definitely will put the links where this podcast is hosted on my site. I'll put the links there to your Facebook profile and some other ones. Niyi, I appreciate your time again today. It has just been a pleasure to talk with you. You're doing tremendous, tremendous work, and I'm really looking forward to meeting you someday in person.
Definitely, man. I'm about to make it up to Ben pretty soon.
Very good. Thanks a lot.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to the Warrior Mind podcast. If you like what you heard, please tell your friends and subscribe at warriormindcoach.com/podcast. Also, make sure you sign up for the Warrior Mind newsletter and check out our blog at warriormindcoach.com/blog. Until next time, live with courage. And remember, every facet, every compartment of your mind is to be programmed by you. And unless you take your rightful responsibility and begin to program your own mind, the world will program it for you.
I am not a warrior. Very soon.